to read verse 19. Begin reading there in verse 18. Was that hard to find? How many of you got it? That was easy one. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yet many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass. The 10 men shall hold out of all languages of the nations. 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And I would also like to read in John chapter 16 a few verses. I'm excited about living for God in this hour, aren't you? I am excited about living for God in this hour.
Amen.
I am excited about living for God in this hour.
Amen. Amen.
John chapter 16, verse 17. And then some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. And now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman when she is in travail has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And I want to talk to you for a few moments today on the subject, shifting spiritual climates.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shifting spiritual climates. Holy God, we magnify you today. We recognize that by your sovereign hand and not by any good deeds or good works that we have done. Oh God, and by your mercies and by your graces, by your favor, by your design, divine command and desire. Whatever happens will happen in our lives and in this world. But we recognize, oh God, and we acknowledge before we begin the preaching of the word that you have stretched forth your sovereign hand over the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. Something has changed and shifted, and the spiritual climate in this church is moving away, oh God, from times of mourning and sorrow, and is moving into times of rejoicing and joy and praise. Have your way in the Word and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Shifting of the spiritual climate happens from time to time. And we often can miss what God is doing among us. We often can neglect to pay attention to the little signs that happen to us along the way. We were talking in our adult Bible class today about what kind of an attitude that we should have, living in the times and the days that we do, seeing wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and diseases and pestilences upon our world, and the terrible decline of morality in our country and throughout the societies in our planet. We are living in dark days, and the Bible said that the days that we live in, people love darkness rather than light, and so they hate the light. We are living in days of persecution and trial and tribulation, and we battle, it seems like, more with our flesh in this day than we do with any other, and we come under great pressure and supernatural battles that we fight, and under great duress in the spiritual realm. We feel the irritations and the aggravations in our minds and in our thoughts, and we feel the pressure in our bodies and weakness and sickness, and we feel the spiritual pressure, we feel mental and emotional pressure, and things just weigh down on us, and we, as it were, almost crawl to the prayer closet some days to just get a moment of relief in the presence of God. If I can just make it back to church on Sunday, it seems like there's very few places anymore that I can have peace of mind and comfort in my soul. Oh, we feel the pressure and we feel it crushing down on us. Somehow we make it through the day. Somehow we make it another day. Somehow we make it another week. Somehow we make it back to church again. God supporting us and strengthening us. Sometimes oblivious. Sometimes completely unaware that we are in the middle of a spiritual transition, if not just in our lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation groans together, waiting for the advent and the coming of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the sons of God, which is you and me. We are in a shifting climate, and I believe that we are pressing into the last days. I can't tell you how much more time that there will be. I can't tell you how many more things need to happen. Nobody knows the day, and nobody knows the hour. Oh, but we can feel in the spirit that God is wanting to move among His people. That God is wanting to move in the earth. That God is wanting to save souls and bring people out of darkness and into His marvelous light in this time that we are in right now.
Amen.
We feel it. We sense it. But yet weighted down under the pressures and the weights. In order for us to move into the spiritual dynamic that God is bringing on the earth, and that God is wanting to sovereignly move in our church, in our lives, and in our community, we have got to get a sense that God is calling the church to a shift in the spiritual climate.
disciples of John the Baptist complained. The Pharisees and the Sadducees complained. Jesus, why don't your disciples fast like our disciples fast? Jesus, why don't your disciples mourn and weep and groan under the oppression of the Roman Empire like our disciples do? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn when they are with him? It is a time of celebration and a time of joy, for the Messiah has come to his people. But they could not fathom, they could not accept it, they could not get a grip on the idea that God was changing a spiritual climate in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. Amen. That the Savior and the God of Israel had suddenly come to his temple. God changes things in our lives, in our churches, in our communities all of a sudden. But sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we're oblivious. But I'm here to tell you today that it's time, church, to wake up and realize that God is ready to bring change, and he's ready to bring his holy power and presence in unprecedented ways into our church and into our lives. But in order for the blessings and the promises and the power of God to flow down upon us and through us, in order to touch the people around us, we have got to shift and change our spiritual attitude, our spiritual perception, and our spiritual outlook. We've got to stop moaning and weeping and crying and complaining and murmuring. And we've got to learn to start rejoicing and praising and worshiping and glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many of you remember the moment when tears are wetting the carpet on the altar where you knelt, and when you raised your hands towards heaven and God touched your soul and filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to worship and magnify and praise you and praise God, and God turned your life around and everything that you used to know no longer was important to you, and all you cared about was to be in the presence of God one more time. The Bible says God brought Israel out of Egypt with a high hand. There was a shift in the spiritual climate. The Bible says Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not let the people go. I want to tell you something. When God gets ready to shift things in the spirit, there is no devil in hell that can stop God from working. The prophet Isaiah said, God is going to work. And who is going to let? That means who is going to stop God from working? Oh, the devil is going to do everything he can to stop you from seeing and rejoicing in what God is doing, to get you negative, to get you discouraged, to get you down, to get you out. But I'm here to tell you, if you can just get a hold of what God is doing, there is a shift in the spiritual climate in this church and in this community. Ever since the first service that we have entered into in this new year, something has been different. I don't know about you, but I want to realize God is getting ready to fulfill some promises. God is getting ready to bring some people out of things that they have been bound by for years. God is getting ready to release chains that bind people. God is getting ready to remove blindfolds that keep people blinded to where they are. And his powerful, perfect, pure light is getting ready to shine into the hearts of darkened souls. A church, we have got to be ready to receive and the accession and the joining of new believers to the church. Oh, we have to park all the way down the street or two blocks over. Do what we have to do to make room for what God wants to do in the church in this hour. Let me tell you something. happening. Those people were standing room only yesterday around the walls of this church. And they were given to their box of crackers and a can of green beans. Oh my God, when people begin to understand what we really offer here is not crackers and green beans. It's really time. You may have to get up out of your seat and make way for a new visitor to sit in your seat. The Bible says that Pharaoh could not, no matter what he tried to do, he held on as long as he could, as hard as he could. But God uses the spiritual battles to batter the defenses and the strength of our adversaries. And the more the devil hits us, the more God returns with his power. And he just slowly but surely beats the devil down, decimates his power, decimates his forces. Every spiritual battle gets us closer to deliverance. Every spiritual battle. And God won't just deliver you from the power of the enemy. And the Bible said, even the book of Psalms said, that he delivered me from the snare of the fowler, and he broke the snare so I can never fall back into it again. The God that we're serving today is beating the enemy down. And every time it feels like God's not there, he's using it as an opportunity to slowly but surely dismantle every high thing, every principality and power that is in high and dark places is being dismantled by the power of the living God. I'm here to tell you today, church, when God says I'm going to bring you out, he means he's going to bring you out.
Amen. He brought Israel out with a high hand through the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies chased after them with a tenacious desire to wipe from the face of the earth the goodness and the joy and the victory and the deliverance and the favor and the pleasures of the Almighty God. Because the devil hates what God is doing in your life. The devil hates what God is doing in the church. The devil hates every soul that is saved, and he pursues violently and persistently and tenaciously until he can tear apart every limb from the church. But I'm here to tell you that in the middle, amen, of the sea, in the middle of the trial, God finally brings down the waves that we thought would overflow us. Amen. Brother Kevin came down upon Pharaoh's army and wiped from the face of the map the enemy's ability to ever raise his head again in the time of Moses and the children that were delivered from Egypt at that moment. And so the church went out with the high hand. But there was a problem with the church. Now you knew I was going to preach in a minute, baby. There was a problem with the church. The church couldn't get it in its head what was happening. Would to God we had stayed in Egypt. Would to God we were still by the Nile River sucking down giant parasites of all kinds from that nasty feces-infested water. Would to God we were still by the flesh pots eating cucumbers and leeks. Oh my God, the things that we chase after sometimes, the things that we think can make us happier than what God wants to do in our lives. It boggles the mind and confuses goals of great wisdom. Why somebody would be like a dog that would throw up its food and then go back and sniff it and smell it and lick it and eat it back up off the floor. The mind how that a sow can come out of the muck and mire and stench and be washed and scrubbed for the market, and as soon as it gets a first opportunity, it goes right back into the mud again.
That's right.
Apostle Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There has to be a shift in the spiritual climate of our minds and of our hearts
There has got to be a shift in the way we see the world and the way we react to the things that are happening around us. Jesus said some crazy things on the sermon upon the mountain as he preached, that those that mourn are going to be comforted, that those that are persecuted ought to rejoice. And he said some wild and crazy things. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I was going through a spiritual battle and the adversary was punching me and hitting me, backing me up. And I prayed, God delivered me, God delivered me, God delivered me. And God said, I'm not going to deliver you. My grace is sufficient for you. There is a shifting spiritual climate. The devil's doing everything he can to fight it. But you need to get a shifting of your understanding and your perspective. And he said, therefore, and God spoke, he said, my grace, my favor is more than enough. It's sufficient for you. And he said that he had a shifting in the way that he thought. And he said, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Church, we need to stop praying for deliverance and start rejoicing.
Amen.
That the Lord has counted us worthy to suffer on behalf of his name. It is a change. It is a shift. Israel, all through the wilderness, they could not make that spiritual change. God had brought them out with a high hand. They went to the mountain. God spoke to them at Sinai, gave them commandments. They could not fathom it. 40 days without a preacher. 40 days without a preacher. And they were already backslid all the way back and beyond further than God had already brought them out of. Oh my God, church, how can we expect to enjoy the blessings when we refuse to shift with the culture as God reaches out his sovereign arm, rolls up, unbuttons, and rolls up his sleeves and reaches out over our lives, delivers us from the powers of hell and sin and eternal damnation and fire and judgment. And he says, I want to, by the blood of my son Jesus, make a promise to you that even though you breathe your last breath and die and worms eat you in this ground of this earth, that one day I'm going to come back, call your name. You are going to rise out of that grave. Your spirit is going to reunite with the dust of that old beat up flesh. And I am going to cause you to live in eternity in a place called heaven. And all that is veiled to you now. And on and on and on the promises go. I wish I could go back to Egypt. Things were sure a whole lot better back there. Oh, I wish I could go. Oh, I wish I could go back. Well, bless God, you can go ahead and go back. And all the people that said they wish they could go back, the Bible says they all died in the wilderness and never received the promises. Because they could not change, shift the spiritual culture. Even after God brought them into the land of promise, even after spending all those days and years, even after kings and amazing miracles and signs and wonders, they still could not get it in their heads. And God allowed them to be overcome their enemies and wipe off the face of the earth. And finally, in God's great grace, in his wonderful love and care and tenderness for his children, he brought them back from the east and from the west, where they had been captives, and brought them back humbled into their land. They had created holidays, and they had created fast days, and holidays, fast days, They had one in this month, and they had one in this month, and they had one in this month, and they had one in this month. And they were crying and wailing about this person that died. They were crying and wailing about this person that died. They were crying and wailing about this that was going wrong. They were crying and wailing about that was going wrong. I'm not against fasting today. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We need to fast and get the flesh under subjection to the Spirit of the living God. In my flesh, but my spirit. Hallelujah. When you fast, do not fast like the Pharisees. Wash your face. Put a smile on it. Sister Stacy, put a smile on that face. Wash it. And go out and do good things. Do everything that your flesh doesn't like. Go over there to that person that irritates you and smile at them, love on them, and tell them nice things. Go over there to those people that hate you. Go over here and do this, things you don't like to do, and submit yourself to God. And I'm not preaching against fasting, but these Jews had made it a badge of honor to fast for this failure. We fasted for that failure, and we're fasting for that failure. We live in a society here in America where we're all the time celebrating some kind of nonsense that happened here or there. And some of the celebrations are good, some of them are bad. But I think sometimes in our minds, we remember the bad things much more intimately, much more poignantly than we remember the good things that God has been doing in our lives. The prophet Zechariah said, you've been brought back from being flung out and destroyed. You've been brought back by the graces and mercies of God after you have spit in the face of God, after you have smacked the face of God, after you have pulled your shoulder away from Him, after you have pushed His hand of help away from you, and in your destruction God found you and loved you all over again and brought you back into this land of promise. And the prophet said, God doesn't want to hear your fasting and your crying and your mourning and your weeping and wailing over this and that and the other. God said, I want to hear all what you used to be, a crying, fasting day. God wants to hear some praise. God wants to see some feasting. God wants to see some celebration. Because He brought you out. And He brought you back. And He wants to see some appreciation being shown in His house once again. The voice of praise and worship. It was a shifting in the spiritual climate. The Bible says that when they were setting up the second temple and they were establishing the headstones, and the Bible says that there were people that remembered what it was like in the days of the kings. And then there were people that didn't know. The Bible says the people that didn't know any better, they were going, a new temple in the promised land. And the Bible says them that used to know what it used to like, they were going, oh, look at this beauty of the temple. And Ezra, the priests and the scribes, and they sent word out to the people, we do not want to hear the weeping and the mourning. This is a day of rejoicing. And I know sometimes in this world that we live in, the devil talks to us, and people are so negative, and there's such a weight of darkness and discouragement that settles on the church. Brother Kevin, what's wrong with Brother Kevin? What's he jumping around for? Is he going to have a seat? No, he's taking his right to worship and praise God for His promises that one day he will go to heaven.
Amen.
I don't care if a billion people are going to hell today. I don't care if they never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached from my lips. I don't care if tragedy befall this and the other. I don't care nations go to war with each other. I don't care, because if I don't praise Jesus, then nothing that happened at Calvary matters. We've got to bring a praise before before the Lord of hosts. I will enter his gates with crying and mourning and fasting and weeping. Oh, Jesus said they're not fasting right now, but when I leave, they will fast. And you read about it. They fasted. Holy Ghost poured out. 120 people were filled. Yeah, and they were fasting when that happened. And then not only that, but thousands of people were saved. The houses, the buildings they were in were shaken by the power of God. It wasn't because they were weeping and moaning and crying. But you know what they said in the book of Acts? God, after they came out of being beaten with whips and being unjustly persecuted for preaching the name of Jesus and healing a man who had been lame since his birth, the Bible says that they came together as a church and they said, Lord, look at what they're doing to us. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be persecuted on behalf of your name. And they said, Lord, look at what they're doing. Stretch forth your hand to heal in the name of your child, your holy child, Jesus. And when they understood the shifting of the spiritual climate, the Bible says that at that moment when they prayed that prayer, that the climate shifted in that building and in the church of God, and it shook the building that they were in, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. I'm not saying there's not times of fasting. We need to fast to bring his flesh under subjection. We need to fast for many reasons and where's and why for's in the privacy of our prayer closets. And before our Father in heaven, who sees in secret and rewards us openly, that's what Jesus said to do. And we better be doing what Jesus said to do. The church, hallelujah, if there's not a joy, thank you, Jesus. I get a chance to push this plate away. I'm doing it, God, not because I'm sad, not because I'm discouraged, but I'm doing it, God, because you are a good God, because you are going to do good things, because your power and your love and mercy is going to be poured out in people's lives. It's about the shifting of the spiritual culture. It's about a perspective of the kingdom. No more fast days, feasting. Rejoicing. When you enter into my house. Church, when you enter into my house, you enter into my gates with thanksgiving. And you enter into my courts with praise. And with a heart of thanking him. Oh, you didn't think I was going to preach for a minute there, did you? I'm excited today. I said, I'm excited today. Not because I'm your pastor, not because I'm here preaching, not because of any of those things. I'm excited today because I know Jesus. I'm excited today because my eyes are being, I see him changing things and doing things. I see his hand working and moving in our midst. I see people's lives changing. People that have been away from the church for years walking back through the doors. I'm excited today. Well, you shouldn't be excited because of this and because of that. I don't care what your reasoning is. The devil will not steal my praise. He will not steal my worship of the Almighty. He will not steal the joy that Jesus left me. He will not steal the peace that passes understanding. I will not let him or anybody else steal that away from me.
Amen.
It's a perspective. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And minister and comfort and do all of those things. And when everything clears and the dust settles, let the only thing be left in my heart. Jesus. Oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might know him better. We've got to get our perspective. It's a struggle, I know. Churches get lost. Pastors get lost. Saints get lost. Leadership teams go awry. Worship services and worship teams get askew and we lose our position and God is moving over here and we're out here in left field. God is moving. It's time for the church to get connected and redirected into the worship and the praise and the joy and the power of the kingdom of God.
There was a church that really stands out to me. Church at Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Get your pen out. Write. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Aren't you glad that God's not oblivious to what you're doing in the kingdom? Hello? He knows what you're going through. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I said, I know you've taken a stand. I see what you're doing. I'm paying attention to your actions and to your words. And you have borne, and you have patience, for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. I'm here to tell you something today, church. God sees what we've been through as individuals, as a church. God sees what we have been through. He knows the dark paths and the valleys of the shadow of death and the presence of enemies that we've had to eat uncomfortable meals in. God knows all of that.
Amen.
Yes, he does. But then he goes on, he says, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And he has one more good thing to say to Ephesus. He says, this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The problem with the church is we get focused on a particular thing and we lose our spiritual balance and fervor. And when we're focused on hating the evil, if we're not careful, we can lose our focus on falling in love and being in love with Jesus. Because it is difficult. Only in the Holy Ghost can you hate and love at the same time. And if we're not careful, flesh gets into our works and we begin to get puffed up in ourselves. Look at what we're doing here. We're holding on when everybody else is letting go. We're standing firm when everybody else is kneeling. We're believing when everybody else is doubting. And we hate the sins of this world. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
But love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
Love is the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus said to his disciples, yes, there's going to be a time of mourning, there's going to be a time of suffering, there's going to be a time of sorrow. Let's all stand together. There's going to be a time of difficulty. And you're going to grieve, you're going to cry, you're going to shed tears. But be ready. Because when the time is right, I am going to change the spiritual climate. And no more mourning, but rejoice. And Jesus compared it to like a woman who has been bearing a child. And there is a mourning time, a time of pain that comes. All you ladies said amen.
Amen.
Doctor,
Give me the news. Is it too late to get some Demerol? Hallelujah. I've never experienced it personally, but I have been there. I've been there when the fur was flying. I've been there when the knives came out. Listening with that little red stuff. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I'm a man. Jesus said when a child is born that there is a shift in the attitude of the mother. I didn't say this, ladies, so you can take it up with Jesus when you get there. A woman in travail has pain because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy. For joy that a man is born into the world. The world was sorrowing for a long time for the fulfillment, Brother Kevin, of the promise to Eve in the garden. Your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. A shift is going to take place. And the Jews... God love them. You got to say one thing about the Jews. They are consistent. They consistently miss what God is doing. You got to give it to them. History says that when the Roman armies came upon Jerusalem, the Christians fled and escaped away because they knew what the Word of God said. They knew what Jesus had said was going to happen, was going to come to pass, and they had a warning and they got out. Those that could not change, those that could not shift, were destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. So it's an amazing place to be. It's a powerful place to be. It's a great place to be, but it's a scary place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Because if we miss what God is doing now, we may never in our lifetime have an opportunity to cross this pass this way again. Together today. God can physically bring you out of things. God can erase and blot out failures and our sins of the records of heaven. But there has to be some effort on our part to begin to accept my life is no longer my own. My life has changed. I belong to Jesus now. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. There may be somebody in this building right now that your life has been heading in a direction for a while. And God has been bringing you to a place for a while. God has been preparing you for a moment when He is going to step into your life and everything is going to change in your life. Are you going to say, well, I was afraid of what people would say? Well, I was embarrassed about what people might think. I was worried about who was looking and what might happen. Are you going to say, I don't care what anybody thinks, and I don't care what anybody says. I don't want to miss my opportunity in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to miss my chance to be converted. I want my spiritual climate to change. I'm ready for God to pull all this junk and garbage out of my life, and I'm ready for something new to come inside of me. I'm tired of being hated, full of anger and hatred. I'm ready for His love and peace to come. I'm tired of being anxious and upset all the time. I'm ready for the love and the peace of God to come. I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for a shift. I'm ready to get into a place and a position in the kingdom of God where no devil in hell can steal away. nor neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things past, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing. Absolutely. Zero. Zilch. Nothing can separate me from that love of our Lord God, which He showed to us at Calvary in Jesus, His Son. Can anybody feel what I'm saying? What a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. We have some moments here, church. I want you to make a commitment right now. If you haven't already caught this message, I don't care what God calls you to do. I want you to make a commitment that this year, 2016, I'm going to pull my chin up. I'm going to pull my lower lip back in. And I'm going to stick my chest out and bow my shoulders back. And I'm going to start walking in courage and confidence in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to start praising and worshiping and magnifying God in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every situation. I'm not going to let the devil steal away and try to quiet me and shush me and keep me from enjoying this wonderful new climate that the Lord is bringing to my life and into the church that I belong to. I'm not going to doubt it. I'm not going to let anybody drag it down. I'm not going to drag it down myself. But when I get involved, when I come to worship, I'm going to build. I'm going to put bricks in. I'm going to mortar. I'm going to lay foundations. I'm going to put up rafters. I'm going to put on shingles and plywood. I'm going to put in decorations and paint. I'm going to build the kingdom of God and stop tearing it down with my negativity and the junk and the garbage of the past, the darkness and the wickedness of this world. How can we reach them unless we ourselves have been violently, powerfully, supernaturally changed? Let's come and let's pray together now. Everybody that will, that wants to, that feels the pull and the tug of the Spirit, come now. There is a shifting in the climate. Let's take a step out and let's lift our hands. Put your hands on the shoulder. Come and find somebody to pray with.